Acts chapter 13, and we are continuing through the book of Acts. It has been a while, I think, at least a couple weeks since I've been in the pulpit on Sunday morning with missions conference going on, but it was a good missions conference, wasn't it? We had a good time, and so thankful for that. Very excited about the fall, very excited about the next year, and some of you are like, I don't want to think about another year. I want to get this one over with. But I'm excited about what God has for our church, and I'm so thankful for all that are faithful and work and help, and so many things are going on around here, and a lot of people are doing a lot of things behind the scenes, and I just want to thank you so much for all that you do. Acts chapter 13 and verse number 1, now there were in the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up by Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And we've been looking at Acts and going through Acts. If you remember in Acts chapter number 1, we learned about the Great Commission. That Great Commission is not a suggestion, is it? No, we are called. Every one of us have been given the Great Commission. It's not this building that's been given the Great Commission. It's not those chairs that have been given the Great Commission. It's the people that have been given the Great Commission to preach the gospel. And, listen to this, and to mentor and disciple. The Great Commission does not stop at leading someone to the Lord. It continues through discipleship. The discipling, the doctrines of Jesus Christ, of the Word of God. We see the Great Commission. Chapter 2, what a great chapter. When the church begins, thousands are saved and baptized and come part of the church. The greatest church growth in all the world, Acts chapter 2, the first church. Acts chapter 3 and 4, we see a time when it was the first persecution of the church. Remember when the lame man got up and walked. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. And in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. And the lame man stood up and walked, and at that point thousands trusted Christ as their Savior in the temple at prayer time. These were Jews that believed that the Messiah had not come yet, but saw the power of the Messiah and believed in Jesus Christ. And that made people very angry. And there was persecution. Acts chapter 6, we see the office of the deacon is born. Acts, that's the office of the deacon, not demon, okay? I want to make that clear. I'm just joking. I'm getting some bad looks from the back here. So I'm good. You good? All right. Acts chapter 7, Stephen's murdered. He's killed, the first martyr. Acts chapter 8 is Philip's ministry. Acts chapter 9 is the conversion of Saul on the road to Damascus. And then we come to Acts chapter 10, what a transitional chapter. Not only now can the Jews be saved, but the Gentiles are now open to the gospel. And now Gentiles are allowed. Aren't you glad for Acts chapter 10? Aren't you glad that we can accept the gospel and not just the Jews? And then and then in verse 11, we see the first ministry of that, the preaching to the Gentiles, and how Peter announced that, and there was reserve about that. And Acts chapter 10 and 11 were very transitional portions of Scripture. And now we come to another transitional portion of Scripture, Acts chapter 13. We read Acts chapter 13, and it's in the context of Acts chapter 13 in the church, this is the beginning of missionaries. This is the beginning of sending out missionaries. In fact, we heard the reference of this in our missions conference this past week. Our main speaker, my grandfather, went through this. And this is such an important portion of Scripture to understand. But I want to see what they do first for these missionaries. We see in verse 1, there's five candidates to send out. There's five candidates to call, all wonderful men. And then in verse 2, they pick two, Barnabas and Saul. God called them out. And then the church sent them in verse 3. How did they do so? What was the first thing they did? And when they had fasted and what? Prayed. This is the first time the church is sending out missionaries, and the first thing they do, the first time they send out missionaries, is they pray. And as you study throughout all the New Testament, the letters that the Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of God, wrote, we see prayer requests for the church, for the missionaries. And I want to challenge you this morning about praying for missions. Praying for missions. We went through a whole missions conference, and really it's a business meeting, and we talked about money. But there's something more powerful than money. That's God. And we can reach God through prayer. We can reach God through prayer. There is more that you can do after you pray. But there is nothing you can do until you pray. There is more you can do after you pray, but there's nothing you do until you pray. Dr. Curtis Hudson, one of the greatest missionaries of all time, said this: the prayer power has never been tried to its full capacity. Think about that. We've never turned prayer up to high. It's never been to its full capacity. We've never hit the accelerator all the way down to the floor when it comes to prayer. But what if we did? What if we did? If we want to see mighty wonders of divine power and grace wrought in the place of weakness, failure, and disappointment, let us answer God's standing challenge. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We must pray for God's will. Pray to get things done in missions. Pray for our missionaries. A coworker asked a friend, now we ought to be praying for God's will, shouldn't we? A coworker asked a friend why he got some donuts when he's on a diet. You're on a diet, why do you have a dozen donuts with you? He said, well, it's very simple. I'm a praying man. And I prayed to God on my way to work that if there's a parking spot right in front of the donut shop, then that's God's will for me to get a donut. And on my 10th time around the block, there it was, that parking spot. We sometimes pray for our will, don't we? We want our will to be done, Lord. And sometimes we're scared of God's will to be done. Parents, let me ask you this question. Are you willing to pray for God's will for your child's life? Wait just a second. Let me finish. What if God's will for their life is to be a missionary? What if God's will for their life is to be 5,000 miles from you with your grandchildren on a mission field? Now, let's back up. Could you pray for God's will for your child's life? Could you do that? Here's what I'm saying. Every missionary that we have on our back wall as parents that have gone through that. We had two young missionaries sitting in our auditorium this week. I joke because one of them didn't look like he was past sixth grade. young, just out of college. They have parents somewhere. If those parents could come and stand on this platform and plead for one thing from you, it would be, would you pray for my child? Would you pray for my child? Are you praying for their children? Are you praying for our missionaries? God has given us responsibility to go. That's clear. Matthew chapter 28, Acts chapter 1, and some in between. We're commanded to go. We're going to Asheville. And we're going through the whole world by investing our money to missionaries. But are we investing our prayer into missionaries? Do we pray for our missionaries? The words of Billy Sunday ring true. He says, he that is a stranger to prayer is a stranger to power. Think about that for a second. He that is a stranger to prayer is a stranger to power. How many of you have a cell phone? I think it'd be easier to ask how many of you do not have a cell phone, right? What is the key ingredient to that cell phone? We just went on vacation. My wife and I both have a cell phone. Every time we go away and we come back, we always come back with only one charger. How many of you ever been there? Your spouse has a phone, you have a phone, and you have one charger. We have to share, right? Isn't that good? Now we have to share. But my phone's dead and her phone's dead, and now we have to have the conversation of whose phone is more important, my phone or her phone? They both got to be plugged in. There's no power there, but you know, a lot of Christians are like that. They're walking around like cell phones without power, or cell phones. How many of you know when your cell phone goes below 5%? Yeah, it's almost useless. Can't take a picture. There's things you can't do. You got to plug it in, right? Well, the problem is we're not plugged in to the power source. We're foreigners when it comes to prayer, and we're foreigners when it comes to power. But I want to give you some principles that would help us on this matter of praying for missions. Okay, just three principles and we'll be done. But it'll help us on this praying for missions. Number one, I want you to get this. Missions begins with God. Let's say that together. Ready? Missions begins with God. Begins with God. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. I want you to see this verse. You know this passage of Scripture. You know what it says. But I want you to see it with your eyes. Missions begins with God. Begins with God. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. What a statement. Here's what he's saying. There are things that need to be done. There are people that need the Lord Jesus Christ. There are people that need to be discipled. I've learned that there have been people that have been saved for 30 years and have never been discipled. That's horrible. There are people all over this world that have never heard the name Jesus. There are people all over this world that don't even know that Jesus loves them, that anybody loves them. And Jesus looks out and sees that. But what does he say? He said, I'll do it. I got it. You guys sit back. Now, what does he say? The next word is, pray ye. Pray ye. There's all these people. The harvest is great. Well, what are we supposed to do about it? Pray ye. The God of missions begins with God. And he says, pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. God has asked us to pray for laborers. God has asked us to pray for missions and missionaries. We have a group of missionaries that need to be prayed for. God, missions begins with God, not our pocketbooks. Missions begins with God, not our bank accounts. Don't get me wrong. Faith promise giving is a method that God is using to send missionaries all over the world. But that's not where it begins. It begins with God. And if missions begins with God, don't you think that's where we need to go? The most powerful resource in the universe. Don't you think that's where we need to go? You ever thought this? Boy, if we only had this amount of money. If I only had this amount of money. If I only had this amount of money. Can I be honest with you? If you had that amount of money, you know what you'd want? You would want more. You'd want more. Well, Pastor Creed, is it a sin to be poor? No, it's just inconvenient. It's not about the money. God wants your heart. If God has your heart, then you have a heart for missions. And if you have a heart for missions, you're going to be praying for our missionaries. I want to ask you that question. Do you pray for our missionaries? Do you pray for our mission family? We learned that people are going through things that we don't even know. I mean, the wounds. He poured his heart out up here. He was weeping for the people that he was reaching. And he said, those are my people. That's God's, God called him there. God called him there. And do you know that he has a prayer request? We've mentioned it on Wednesday night. We're praying for his son. His oldest son needs spiritual help. That's our missionary. That's our missionary that needs prayer. You got his back? Are you praying for him? Not do you say you pray for him to make him feel good, but are you really going to the powerful source of God and praying for him? Because missions begins with God. Missions does not begin at the church. It begins with God. It begins with God. Number two, missions belongs to God. Missions belongs to God. The Great Commission is from who? God. The last thing Jesus Christ spoke about was missions. The Great Commission, reaching other people with the gospel, the good news. Now, let me explain this good news. Jesus Christ loves you so much. God loves you so much, he sent his son Jesus to die for you so that you can have eternal life, and all you have to do is accept him as your personal savior. And by the way, he's not buried in a tomb. He lives today. That's part of the gospel. Why does he live? He keeps us, 1 Peter. It's through the power of God that keeps us. He seals us. The Holy Spirit seals us at salvation. Listen, we're not saved by good works. We're not kept by good works. You with me? And we cannot lose our salvation by works. Why? Because there's a powerful God that keeps us. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the good news that everybody should hear. And we have a part in sending that message all over the world. And we need to pray for those who send it. And it belongs to God. That belongs to God. You know, missions is a program designed by God. Did you know that? I mean, think about this. The church has many programs. Sunday school is a program. We have the Christmas cantata or the Christmas program coming up. That's exciting. We should start singing Christmas carols now. By the way, I'd love singing Christmas songs all year round, those of you that don't know me. We have programs throughout the church, and we like to have programs. The most important program is the one that belongs to God, is the one that He started, and that's the program of missions, world evangelism. Think about this. Look at Acts chapter 13 again. There was Barnabas. We see in verse 1, Barnabas introduced Saul to the apostles. When Saul was saved, first saved, he was the one that introduced, he was a good man. The Bible tells us he was a good man. Remember Barnabas? He was the one that sold his property and gave it to the church. He was very kind. We see another person here, Simeon, who was called Niger. They believe that he was, also called Simon, he was African and believed to be, he might have carried the cross of Jesus, might have been the one that carried the cross of Jesus. They believed that his skin color was black. Lucius, hard-working man. Paul calls him my kinsman. May have been led to Christ by Simeon. Manaen, now Manaen has a great story behind it. Manaen was actually a foster child raised with Herod as children. Now we know what Herod did. Herod went on to become a great leader and a murderer. Rejected Jesus Christ and died and went to hell. But this young man went a different direction. He's in the church ministering, found Jesus. And then we know Saul, who now is named Paul, began as one who hated Christians. And God saved him. You say, why do you tell us all that, Pastor Creed? Because God worked in all of these men's lives. All these men have a unique story that brought them to God's will, brought them to this church. And now watch this. God called Barnabas and Saul. The church sent them. You with me? Let's look at our passage again. Look at verse 2. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I called them. Who is that speaking? That's God. Look at verse 3. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Missionaries are not mama, daddy called. They're not church called. They're God called missionaries. Young people, open your hearts to what God has for your life. Don't close off a section and say, God, I don't want to go here, or I don't want to do that. Open up. Give God a blank check. Let God call you where He wants you. Amen? And then we see the church sent them. You see, it's not the other way around. I can't go up to Chris Jury and say, hey, Chris, now there's a tribe in Africa. I want you to go. I'm calling you to go as a missionary. as you pack your wife and your child up. You're doing about 2 years. We're going to support you. About 2 years of deputation, and I want you to go to this tribe, and they're cannibals, all right? So don't bring salt and pepper, all right? Or hot sauce. So I want you to go and lead them to the Lord, okay? I'm calling you. Does that work? And Earl, you know, I know, you're his father, and I understand that. So I'm going to call you too. Now I want you to go to Hawaii, and I want you to start a church in Hawaii right there on the beach, all right? That's what I want you to do. I'm not calling them. I can't do that. It's not my power to do that. Whose power is it? It's God's power. But God gives the church the authority to send. You with me? Now we have the authority to send people. Every one of those missionaries, now stay with me, every one of those missionaries has a home church, what we call a sending church. Our first resource in finding out what kind of missionary they are, we look at their sending church and talk to their sending pastor. And you know the one thing they want for their missionary? Would you please pray for them? Would you please pray for them? I want you to know, we have very limited money, but we have unlimited prayers. Our prayer account is unlimited. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. Ladies, what if your husband said, spend without ceasing? Somebody say, I do anyways. No, it's pray without ceasing. You can't do that. Can't spend without ceasing. Why? We're limited with cash. But the Bible says pray without ceasing. Why? Because our access to God is unlimited. When you speak to their parents and you speak to their sending church and their sending pastor, these missionaries, they'll tell you, pray for them. Well, lastly, we see these missionaries bear fruit. Missions bears fruit. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 15, it says, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Now, he is talking about giving and receiving here. But I want you to notice the part here in verse 16 and 17. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. In Thessalonica, we're going to turn to Thessalonians in just a second. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. This morning, when somebody is saved on the mission field that we support, that is fruit that abounds to our account. We had the Oopmans and we had the wounds here, and we saw the slides, and we saw people that have been saved and that are discipled in South Korea. And we're so thankful for that fruit that abounds to our account from those missionaries. Why? Because we're investing in them. But they need more than that. They need prayer. And we have the opportunity to pray for our missionaries and invest praying for them. Paul is a missionary and is telling the church that their gifts are needful and produces fruit on the mission field. I want you to turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And I want you to see this because Paul is now a missionary. Paul is now going and starting churches, okay? Now, I want you to understand by missionary, I want you to understand what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about going and building hospitals, although that's pretty good. I like that. That's fine. I'm not talking about going and starting a food truck or a food ministry to people who don't have food or building up purifying water for people that don't have purified water. That's all great, okay? That is good stuff. But our responsibility is with the gospel and sending them the gospel. Now, that can be a tool to giving the gospel. I've seen medical missionaries go out and use medicine as a tool to get the gospel out. Thank the Lord for that. We love when a missionary goes out and plants a church and preaches the gospel. And that's what Paul is doing. He is planting churches. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, finally, brethren, what? Give us more money. I need more support. Finally, brethren, come out and visit us. Give us some Christmas gifts. What does he say? Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course, be glorified even as it is with you. Some of the greatest missionaries of history devotedly spread the seed of God's word and yet had to wait a long period of time for seeing fruit of their efforts. William Carey, for example, labored 7 years before the first Hindu convert was brought to Christ in Burma. Adoniram Judson toiled 7 years before the faithful preaching was rewarded by seeing his first convert. And I wonder, for those 7 years, how many people were praying for him. Praying for him. I remember starting the church in Kilmarnock, and it was a church plant. We went around and raised support and started that church there in Kilmarnock, Virginia. I remember people telling me before I went, we're praying for you. We're praying for you. And as a missionary at that point, my thinking was, that's great, thank you, but can you give us some money too? And when I got there and we started handing out the gospel and preaching the gospel and seeing months go by and years go by without seeing a soul saved, we were beating the trail. We were doing everything we were taught to do. We were trying, spreading the seed, sowing the seed. And it seemed like we were beating our heads up against the wall. And I received a call from a man who just passed away, Mr. Don Sumter. And he said words that meant so much to me. He said, Patrick, you may not know this, but I have been praying for you. And our church is praying specifically for you and what God is doing there. I remember getting that call on April, and I remember we had a VBS scheduled, and I said, would you please pray for this VBS? We prayed for the VBS. A church of probably 15 people had 70 kids saved at VBS. 70 children saved. And that lit something in that church. You say, why did that happen, Pastor Creed? I believe there's a lot of things that went to it, but I believe one of the powers that allowed that to happen was there were people praying for us. There were people specifically praying for us. And so my question is, are you praying for your missionaries? There are missionaries. That's our family. Are you praying for them?